Good morning and welcome again. I am Pastor Kevin filling in for Pastor Ray while he's away. Today we'll be doing a little bit of something I want to call faith training. We'll be looking at growing in our faith, and it's very similar to that of an athlete. And the questions I'll be answering this morning is, how does a believer grow in their faith? The other question is, what can the believer do to grow in their faith? In our lifetime, we experience many different things that grow. We grow, we get taller, our bellies get rounder, our noses get bigger, our ears get longer, hair begins to grow in areas we don't want, and our fingernails grow, our toenails grow. Our stress grows, our kids grow, we get to see them grow just like us growing, we get to see how they grow behaviorally, cognitively. We also, if we like to garden, we like to see things like flowers grow, fruits grow, vegetables. Our kids' toys, those also grow. If you have a child or a grandchild, you would know that Legos, I don't know how they keep on getting more and more, but they continue to grow. I'm not buying them, my wife's not buying them, but they're more and more Legos. Over the years, our Tupperware grows. If you go into your cabinet, you probably have a stack of Tupperware that you don't use, and you have to play Tupperware Jenga to pull out one lid, and all of it just comes crashing down. You see, there's many things that we experience that grow in our life. And what I want to focus on this morning is the growth of our faith. And what I call this message is faith training, and I want to teach you and train you, so to speak. Using the word of God practically, I want to draw your focus on training in your faith. Switching gears just a little bit, I want to talk to you this morning, perhaps coach you a little bit about what it means to grow in the faith. We'll be spending our time this morning in 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, please meet me there, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, when I came across this passage, I was like, I don't know why, but I could not stop thinking of an athlete. I could not stop thinking of a person who desires muscle growth. And so we'll be looking at this from that angle. I'll be talking a lot about a muscle-growing individual who likes to go to the gym, and you're going to hear a lot of those illustrations this morning, but bear with me because I believe that our faith-growing functions very similar to a person who's desiring to grow muscle on their body. You see, if you want your muscles to grow, you must be diligent in the category of physical training, which means you would likely get a gym membership, you would begin to go to the gym, you would start to work out your muscles. A person who wants to get in shape goes to the gym, and while at the gym, they work out by doing exercises, and they start developing stronger muscles, they get more endurance, they get less fatigue, they get more energy and greater flexibility. To also help them with their muscle growth, they get on a good diet. They start to drink supplements. They take vitamins to help to get to that physique that they're trying to get to. And here in our passage, Paul is writing to believers who are facing very horrible persecution. Christians who are in Rome experiencing the worst kind of persecution you can ever imagine. And Peter writes to them in a way to give them like this faith training. He encourages them. He writes to them, so to speak, to say, hey, even though you're going through all of this, we need to focus on you growing in your faith. We need to focus on you growing in your faith. You see, there's a huge importance on the growth in our faith, just like that of a bodybuilder. You want to grow in your faith? Well, let's look at how Peter assists us with three faith-growing tips. Let's read together 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 4. Peter writes, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption and the world caused by evil desires. The first tip that Peter gives us is that God has given you everything for spiritual growth. God has given you everything for spiritual growth. So what does this mean? This, as we're going to go into this, I've been going to the gym a lot lately, and when you go to the gym, you have this desire to grow, right? And I've been getting out of shape. I got this dad bod now, and I'm trying to shave off a few pounds because I've been getting it somewhere, and I don't know where it's coming from. But we realize that your body has about 700 different muscles. 700 different muscles. And at the gym, you have an opportunity to work out all of those 700 muscles. The unique thing about the gym is that the gym will give you everything that you need for your muscles to grow. Think about that. The gym will give you everything that you need for your muscles to grow. You will find dumbbells everywhere, all across the gym, that you can use to start lifting weights. You can do many different things with dumbbells. You can do shoulder workouts, bicep workouts, tricep workouts, leg workouts. There's so many things that you can do with dumbbells. You will find medicine balls. Medicine balls can help you with your core exercises, your cardio exercises. There's so many different exercises you can do with a medicine ball. You will find machines that can record literally how far you're going on a run, or how many steps you've taken, or how many calories you've burned, or even what your heart rate is actually reading right now. You will find weights ranging from beginner exercises to the experienced. You will find different kind of classes like kickboxing and cycling. You'll also find available trainers willing to help you and coach you along the way. You see, the gym has provided you with everything you need for your muscles to grow. In a similar way, God has given you everything you need for your faith to grow. And I want to read 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 again. But poking at some few sentences, Peter writes, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received this by coming to know him. A key factor in this tip that Peter is writing is that we need to come to know Jesus first. That we need to understand who Jesus is. We need to receive Jesus as our Savior first. Once we have come to know Jesus, what does that mean? That means your salvation, having him as your Savior. When we receive Jesus, we receive everything we need pertaining to living a godly life. I want to read Romans chapter 8, verse 31 and 32. Paul writes, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for all of us, how will he not also, along with them, graciously give us all these things? A key thing that God is telling us this morning is that God gave you everything pertaining to life and pertaining to godliness. God sacrificed his son so you can have a relationship with him. What more will God give you so that you can grow in him now? He'll give you Jesus. He's given you Jesus. And so God desires for us to grow in him, to live a godly life, not to live a worldly life. God is calling us to be living in godliness, not worldliness. He will give us all things that he sees fit for our life of godliness. We have this privilege, though, and 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 mentions it. He says that you have this privilege to tap into his divine power, his divine nature. And we need to understand that God's power is much greater than anything that we can ever tap into. God's power is much greater than anything than we could ever tap into. There's nothing greater than God's power. There's nothing greater than God's divine nature. And we who are believers have this privilege that we can tap into this divine power to empower us to live a life of godliness. Too many times we tap into things thinking that it's going to give us divine power, and it leaves us more broken. Too many times we go searching for things that are not Jesus, and it leaves us more separated away from a loving, holy God. What happens is that we can easily be distracted and pulled away from our focus on the Lord. we begin not to grow in our faith. And what Peter is saying is that God has given you everything. God has given you everything pertaining to living a godly life. The unique thing about faith, though, is that God has given you everything you need for growth. Everything you need for growth is found in God through Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. He's giving you his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives and abides in you when you receive Christ as your Savior. Remember, I said you have to know him first. He's giving you the promises, past promises, present promises, or future promises. The key is that we need to remember those promises. That was something that the Israelites kept on having to struggle with. They kept on forgetting the goodness of God. They kept on forgetting what God had done in their life through the wilderness, through the Exodus, through the Red Sea. They kept on forgetting the goodness of God, and God had to continue to remind them. You see, we have to remember the promises God has given us. God has given you answered prayers. They might not be the answers you're desiring, but God is still answering them. He said yes to many things. He probably said no to things, and maybe not right now to other things, but we have to understand that God knows what's best for us. And so when he answers those prayers, he's given us those answers. God has also given us provision. He's given us security and protection. God has given us his one and only Son to die on the cross for our sins. And because of that, he's given us the gift of forgiveness. He's given us the gift of reconciliation. He's given us the gift of grace and of mercy. Most of all, God has given us his presence. And that gives us much more blessings. What we have to do if we want to grow in our faith is we need to tap into his divine power. Draw near to him, because Scripture actually teaches this. If you draw near to me, I will draw near to you. God has given us many promises because he is all that we need. You always have to remember that Jesus is always better. Tap into his promises, not the things that will leave you broken and incomplete. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4 says this, looking at a few sentences. He says, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption and the world caused by evil desires. What's important is that, and I want you guys to focus on this, is that Peter used a specific word here, and that word is participate. 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 To participate means to partake, to be involved with. And Peter's saying, you need to participate in the divine nature that God has gifted to you. And I mentioned all these things in the gym that God, or that the gym has given you to grow your muscles. But check this out. If you go to the gym and you don't participate in what the gym has provided you, are you going to grow your muscles? Absolutely not. So the question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to go to the gym and participate? Because if you do, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be strong. You're going to start growing those muscles. You can't be like Popeye, who could just pop open a can of spinach and just have these bulging muscles. It just doesn't work like that. In the same way, God has given us everything that we need, everything that we need to grow our faith. You grow your faith by participating in what God has provided. Like the gym, if you don't participate, your faith is not going to grow. Our faith is important. Our personal walks with Jesus is very important. And what it needs to be is it needs to be growing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5 through 9, Peter continues to write and he says, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. The second tip that Peter gives us with growing our faith is that supplement your faith like you would your muscles. We need to supplement our faith like we need to our muscles. The NIV uses the word adding to, but other translations says you need to supplement your faith with goodness, with with goodness and the self-control and the perseverance and the other things that he listed. So the important thing is, it's interesting to see God talking about supplementing your faith, because if you know what supplementing your faith means, you would understand this if you were a bodybuilder as well. If you desired muscle growth, you would know that you have to also supplement your diet, supplement your lifestyle in order to grow these muscles. A gym goer would do, they would do supplements like protein shakes. They would use things like vitamins. They'll take vitamins to get the nutrients. They'll start dieting. They would drink excessive water. They'll start to do steroids. Don't do steroids. You see, when you supplement your faith, what you're doing is you're adding to them. You're helping them grow. And that's exactly the picture that Peter is painting here. And I don't think it's coincidence that Peter uses this word. Along with God, with what God has given, everything that we need to also do our part and supplement to our faith. And I believe that this is gold for our faith to grow. And he says we need to supplement seven different things that we need to supplement to our faith in order to grow. And this is a big part of our faith training tips right here. But in fact, the believer's responsibility, your responsibility as a believer, is to live a godly life. That's your responsibility. You want your faith to grow? Well, you have to make every effort. And this is what Peter says before he starts to list these seven different supplements. Peter literally says that you need to make every effort. Every effort of yours needs to be invested into these supplements adding to your faith. Here's the seven supplements to add to our faith. He says the first one is goodness. What is goodness? Goodness is morality. Goodness is knowing what's right and what's wrong. Goodness is knowing your virtues, knowing what is good for what the Bible teaches about many things that you're involved with. For instance, what is the right way to raise your children? What is the right way to handle money? What is the right way to handle your marriage? These are knowing what is the goodness of the situations that you're in. What is goodness? Add this to your faith. He says, with goodness, to knowledge. And he talks about knowledge, and he says, to add knowledge to your faith. Supplement knowledge. And here's the interesting thing about knowledge. This could go with many different areas. This could be seeking discernment. This could be seeking wisdom. This could be knowing what is the will for your life that God has put on your life. And it's also knowing biblical doctrine. And what's interesting about the biblical doctrine part is that Peter was writing to a generation right here who was being indoctrinated with so much ungodly beliefs. They were being attacked to believe things that were not the Bible. And they were being pulled every single way to stop following Jesus Christ for the sake of the Roman emperor. And so what's going on is that Peter's writing to them like, hey, you need knowledge, especially, and he continues to write in this letter later on, which we're not going to get to. He talks about understanding hypocrisy, understanding heresy, and how to stand firm in your faith. And so what we have to focus on in knowledge is, I don't think the Romans were living in much of a different time than we were. I mean, yeah, sure, they had the cool cathedrals and all that other stuff and the Roman pillars, and we don't have that here. But look at our culture. We're being indoctrinated just like the Romans were. The first century believers, we're being indoctrinated just as they are. Look at how our politics are changing. Look at what is being put into the media. Look at what the school system is telling our children to believe and to learn, that this is the only way that things should be. Peter says, add to your faith knowledge. Then he goes on and says, add also self-control. What does that mean? Well, that means don't give in to your flesh. Don't be persuaded by the way of the world. When temptation is knocking at your door, hanging an apple in your face, telling you to eat it, what are you going to do? Have self-control. Another supplement he says is to have perseverance. Perseverance is to remain under. And what he means is under the trial. To remain under the pressure of the trial. And what's guaranteed to you guys, folks, is that there's going to be bad days in your life. There's going to be trials that come to you. And Peter is saying, like, add to your faith perseverance. And if you guys know the scripture of James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, James is telling them, like, hey, consider all trials, every single trial you get, because they're going to come, they're going to be guaranteed. Consider it pure joy. Because the testing of your faith is going to produce perseverance. And perseverance is going to be steadfastness so that you could be complete, mature, lacking in nothing. So there's a purpose for our trials, right? And so with this purpose, we persevere so that we could get out through the trial so that we can gain whatever God was trying to make us perfect and complete about. And so Peter is saying, hey, add perseverance to your faith. And with perseverance, he says, godliness. He says, add godliness, ensuring that God is leading your life. Ensure that God is leading your marriage. Ensuring that God is leading your family. This is what God is saying. Live a life of godliness. This means having a daily worship to him. You believers can't just come to church on Sunday and expect to have this really vibrant, exciting relationship with the Lord if they're only worshiping God on Sundays. You can worship God in your cars. You can worship God at your dinner table. You can worship God at the park. You can worship God anywhere. But what we need to do and focus on if we want our faith to grow is we need to add godliness in our life, in our faith. Then the next one, I'm going to group them together because he talks about them. He says, brotherly affection with kindness and love. And this is really just loving other people. This is really loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. But I don't think it's a coincidence that Peter is using this word love. What is love? Well, love is something that you do selflessly. Love is something that you do sacrificially. Like, love is not thinking of yourself, but loving somebody else. Love is taking the back seat. And it's funny because, or it's interesting because Paul writes in Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, he says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Love binds them all together in perfect unity. And I think it's really interesting that Peter is using this. Love is not only the last supplement that Peter is telling us to add to our faith. It's not only the greatest virtue, but I believe it's the glue that holds all these other supplements together. It's the glue that brings them all together. And if you have the rest of the virtues Peter lists, but you don't have love, then the virtues that we just went through will be less than they should ever be in your faith growing. And I'm going to explain that a little bit because I'm going to compare that to that of a weightlifter. When you're lifting weights, you need to work out all of your muscles. You need to work out all of your muscles. It would be very weird for you to go to the gym 5 days a week for an entire year and only work out your neck muscle. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine going to the gym for an entire year and 5 days a week, you worked out only your neck muscle? What's going to happen is you're going to have this nice Hulk-looking neck, and then you're going to have these puny little arms. You're going to have chicken legs. But you're going to have this bulging neck with veins popping out, and you're going to look disproportionate. It's going to be very weird. You need to work out your muscles all together. And the interesting fact in how this all ties together is that you have something called core muscles, and you have something called leg muscles. Did you know that if you neglect your core muscle and you neglect your leg muscles, working them out, the rest of your body is going to suffer? Meaning that you will work hard getting big biceps, work hard to get a bigger chest, hard to do whatever, get a bigger neck, I don't know. And what's going to happen is it's going to be much more difficult because you don't have a core or leg muscles. You guys didn't know you're going to be fitness trained today, did you? So what happens is, if you don't have a strong core or leg muscles, the rest of your muscles will suffer when you try to grow them. I'm not saying they won't grow. It'll just take a longer process. It'll be lacking. All your other muscles will not be to the best potential that they could be if you're lacking those muscles. If you want a stronger core and stronger leg muscles, the rest of your muscles will grow much stronger, faster. It'll look more proportionate. Peter's point is clear, is that just like that of a weight trainer, we also need to do that with our faith, but we need to focus on that one important virtue, and that's love. That's love. Peter's point is clear that we need to supplement our faith with these virtues. Growing faith is a goal to which we need to give ourselves body and soul every single day of our life. As a believer in Christ, we cannot neglect the aspect of love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 3, it reads this, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have a faith that can move mountains, but I do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. In verse 13, if you drop down there, it reads, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You see, Peter emphasizes that we need to make every effort to develop these qualities, and Paul reminds us that the greatest of those qualities is love. These qualities reflect God's nature. Do you want to reflect God's nature? Well, Peter lays it out very clearly. Why is it so important, though, that we develop these and add these supplements to our faith? He says it in verse 8 and 9 of chapter 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. He says, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. You see, what's interesting is that when these qualities of our faith are increasing, another word for growing, you will always be effective for the ministry of Jesus Christ. The Bible did not just read just now that we will never be effective if we do these things. The Bible says, actually, you will not be ineffective. That you will always be effective when you're growing and adding and growing these things to your faith. And I believe, honestly, that that's the purpose for all of our life. If I could give you the will of your life in one sentence, a very vague sentence, I would say it is this: to be effective for the ministry of Jesus Christ. That's the will for your life. To be effective for the ministry of Jesus Christ. You're probably wondering, well, did Pastor Kevin just tell me that I'm called into ministry? In a roundabout way, yes, I did. I did not say that you need to quit whatever you're doing and join the church and start preaching and going around the world being a missionary. I didn't say that. But the reason why you receive Christ and you are still here on earth is because you need now to proclaim the gospel. You need to grow in your faith. You see, your salvation was not the end, it was only the beginning. That you are going to continue to seek Jesus and grow in his name, proclaiming the gospel of the good news. Jesus didn't want you to only come to him for salvation, but also for you to grow and be used by for his awesome glory, and that also you'll be fruitful. And Peter said that whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted. Whoever lacks these qualities, if you're a believer and you lack these qualities, you're so nearsighted. You see, our faith needs to go beyond what we simply believe. It must be also something that we do. Our faith needs to go beyond what we just simply believe. It needs to be also a part of what we do. And our salvation does not depend on our good deeds. Don't get me wrong. It does not depend on our good deeds. But our salvation results in good deeds. A person who claims to have salvation in the name of Jesus Christ but remains without any spiritual growth, this is what it shows. It shows that they don't understand their faith. A person who comes to know the Lord as their Savior but has no growth does not understand faith, or they don't understand what God has done for them by cleansing their sins. And that's what Peter told us in verse 8 and 9. Going to verse 10 and 11, Peter writes this in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. He says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The third tip that Peter gives us for our faith to grow is we have to work hard in our faith. We have to work hard in our faith. For every gym goer, there's a goal that they set before them. Every single person who goes to the gym, they set a goal. I don't know what the goal is. It's usually a personal goal, like I want to lose 50 pounds or I want to start bench pressing 350 pounds. Whatever it is, there's a personal goal that is set for the gym goer. Sometimes a gym person will go to the gym and they don't do any kind of exercises. Listen, no gym person reaches their goal by just showing up to the gym. And Peter here is urging us to be diligent, hardworking. If you want to grow muscles, you got to be diligent, hardworking. No churchgoer grows in their faith by just attending Sunday morning services, just like that of a gym person. If you want to go gain muscle, you go to the gym, you participate. If you want to grow in your faith, you participate. Our faith is something that we must work hard in our walks with Jesus daily, especially with the day that we're living in. I mean, I don't have to fool you or trick you or open your eyes even more, but we're living in a day that is so corrupted, that there's so many things that are being fed to our soul. It's starving our attention. It's starving for our attention, and we bite into it. There's so many distractions, so many things that are calling our name and pulling us away from the Lord. But when you work hard in growing your faith, the truth is that you will never fall away, and that's a promise that Peter told us, is that you work diligent in these areas. If you work diligent in growing your faith, Peter says you will never fall away. You will never stumble. You will always have something to look forward to, and that's becoming more like Jesus Christ. Yeah, sure, you're going to have hard days. Sure, I can tell you right now, hard days are going to come to you. There's going to be days that are just more troublesome than others. And there may be days that you're just questioning, God, where are you? God, what are you doing in my life right now? God, what is it that you're trying to teach me? But as we grow in our faith to Jesus Christ, when those bad days come, we'll be able to withstand the trial. It is not our profession of faith that guarantees that we're saved. It's our progression in faith that gives us that assurance. It is not our profession of faith that guarantees that we're saved. It's our progression in the faith that gives us that assurance. For example, when we fail God, your answer, your response to God should always be repentance. When you fail God and you don't repent, it shows that you're not really growing in the faith. Whenever we have, whenever we're weak in a specific area, we know that God is made strong. And so whenever we're weak in an area and we're not seeking God for that his strength, and we're just continuing to fail him in those weak areas of our life, we're not growing. What I want you to know is that a big part of our faith, a big part of our faith is that we need to depend on God because he's our support. We literally cannot do anything without him. We cannot achieve anything without him. We cannot do this on our own. And a person who's desiring growth for their muscles at the gym, one unique thing is that they always need a workout partner. They need a workout partner. In the gym, they call this kind of like a spotter. A spotter will kind of be with their workout partner, and they'll help them lift the weights up. They'll help them stay on track, get their goals met, and all this other stuff. They'll spot them throughout their workouts to also make sure that they're not going to drop the weight on their chest and kill themselves or their knees fall out from behind them and they just collapse. You see, a spotter is going to be there for the person lifting weights. And I'll tell you a quick story. When I was about maybe 8 years ago, I was working out in the gym. It was a gym in my apartment complex, and literally, there was nobody in the gym. There was not one person in the gym, and I was feeling confident that day. I was like, I could bench 500 pounds, no problem, you know what I'm saying? I'm kidding. It was like 200 pounds, but whatever. And so, when I go into the gym, and I have this confidence that I can do this. I don't need a spotter. And I put the weight on the bench press, and I start doing it. I take the weight off the rack, and I bring it down to my chest, and I go up. Okay, one repetition, I got this. Okay. Second repetition, I think I got this. Okay. Third repetition, I don't got this. And I start to think everything in the world. I'm alone. I'm by myself. I start to panic. I drop the weight on my chest. It begins to crush me. 200 pounds is a lot on your chest. It begins to crush me. I'm struggling. I'm whimpering. I don't know what to do. I'm panicking. And I'm doing everything I can do to get this weight off of me. And I just take this one momentum push, and I just push everything to the right side. And as I'm pushing, the weights fall off the bar. And I didn't know, but you know, gravity does work. And it launched me back this way because this side was much heavier on the dumbbell. I did hurt my back and all that, but the point of all this is to lift weight without a spotter is very dangerous. Comparably, thinking that we can go throughout this Christian life is dangerous, to do it by ourselves. We need the body of Christ if we want to grow in the areas of faith. I want to read with you guys Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 through 12. The writer says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Also, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. This is the power of accountability. This is the power of the body of Christ coming together to allow and help and nurture this growing in the faith. We can come together with a close brother or sister in Christ and grow in our faith together. Having that accountability will also help us never fall away. It will also keep us from the dangers and the temptations. You're not perfect, I'm not perfect. But in the areas that we're not perfect, that's where we should get the accountability. You want stronger faith? How can you grow your faith? Peter gave us three things, three tips to work out in our faith. First one is God has given us everything we need. We need to participate. Second tip is that our faith needs supplements to grow, especially enhancing love in our faith. The third tip Peter gives us is we need to work hard in growing our faith. This world desires to master us, but we must master it. And as Peter closes this, he says, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In other translations, it says you will receive a grand entrance. A grand entrance. You're like, so what? Well, this is the cool part about this. The term grand entrance was a term that was used by the Romans whenever they did the Olympics. And whenever a gold medalist would return home to their country or their city or whatever it might be, they would have a grand entrance, a grand welcome coming home. To think that God is welcoming us home after we won a gold medal in this place called life. That's what it's all about. That's what's to look forward to when we are working out in our faith. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you so much for you being a holy God. Father, we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts. We thank you for the transitions you've made in our life. And Father, I believe that there's just a bunch of believers that are here right now who they love you, Lord, but they're not growing. Father, I pray this message has encouraged them to be thoughtful of the steps that they could take to grow in their faith, to seek you on a daily basis, to add to their faith, the supplements that you've provided to us. Father, remind us that we need to participate in what you've given us. Lord, we desire to hear good job, well and done. Well done, good and faithful servant. When we get to see you face to face, Lord, it's the desire of all of our hearts. But Father, we have a world that is just eating at our soul. And we need you now more than ever. So, Father, I pray through this message that you will lead us, encourage us to grow in our faith. And, Father, if there's someone here who does not know you, I pray, Lord, that you'll open their hearts, lead them to you, Jesus, that they'll call out to your name, admit that they're a sinner, but know that you are a Savior. Call them home, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and it's your holy and precious name that we pray, Jesus. Amen.